Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. Hey, I don't know if you can see, but the t-shirt that I'm wearing says Story Church on it. Obviously, this is not Story Church. This is Broadway Christian Church. But Story Church is a church that we planted, and their first day was today, and their service started at 10 o'clock, so they're probably wrapping up or have already finished their first service. They have been gathering for a while, preparing, planning, just believing in that God was in it, and they have a good core group of people, and Reed and Audrey Adams are the church planters, and I'm so excited for them today, just really believing that from here going forward that God's going to do some incredible things as they proclaim the good news of Jesus. So we're so excited for them. I'd like to pray for them, and then we'll begin our teaching time this morning. Father, we're so grateful for Story Church, and Father, we're praying over everything that happened today. I know they arrived really early. They had to set up and get prepared for people to come into the school setting where they were going to hold their first service, and Father, we just pray over everything that happened today. May it have been for them a day that was filled with joy and anticipation and excitement, and Father, may the good news that they proclaimed to the world who showed up today, may that just make a difference, eternal difference in the lives of those who are there. And we pray this today in Jesus' name, amen. So, back in the late 70s, early 80s, I can't remember exactly which birthday it was for me, but I had a birthday. I've had many of them since then, by the way, but I had a birthday. Typically get some different presents, but my grandparents would always typically send some money. They sent $10 that was to be used as a gift, so I could buy anything that I wanted to buy. And so they sent the gift, I got it, and it was $10. And I was so excited, I could not wait to spend the money. I don't know if you ever felt like that when you got some money, you just could not wait to spend it. You didn't know what you were going to spend it on, but you knew you just had to spend the money. And so we were traveling home with my dad and I. We stopped at a convenience store to get some gas. We went inside real quick, and I saw this shirt that I thought to myself, hey, I have enough to buy that shirt. I want that shirt. And so I said to my dad, I said, hey, there's a shirt inside. I've got 10 bucks. I want to buy it. Is it okay? And he said, you know what? I just don't think it's that good of an idea to buy clothes at a convenience store. And I, at the time, I was like, well, I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, the shirt was just, it was, and not that I claim to have any style or anything like that, but in this moment, I was so excited, I could not wait, but my dad said, no, don't get the shirt. So we didn't get it, but for the rest of the next 2-3 hours, I just was relentless asking if I could go back to the convenience store and buy that shirt. So much so that finally my dad got fed up with me, and he said, fine, go get the shirt, but don't forget, I'm telling you not to get it. And so I hurried up, took my $10. By the way, $10 back then is like $1 million today, right? So I hurried back to the store, bought the shirt, got home, put the shirt on, and I was just like overjoyed. And here's, the shirt actually had a saying on it. And the saying was this: you can't fly like an eagle when you're running with turkeys. I mean, this was my favorite shirt that I've ever owned. And I was so happy, but I wore it the rest of the day. And then, of course, it went into the dirty clothes. And my mom, because there was four of us kids, my mom made sure early on we knew how to do our own laundry. So it came time to do laundry. I washed the shirt, got it out of the laundry, and the decal that was on the shirt was just completely destroyed. Yeah. Oh, exactly. I was just so disappointed. And at the same time, I immediately thought to the fact that my dad told me not to get the shirt. And so I did not want my dad to know he was right. Have you ever done that? I just didn't want him to know, so I kept it from my dad. And usually, my dad wasn't like one to ask a bunch of questions, and he would forget like things like that. But a couple days later, he said, "Hey, I haven't seen you wear that shirt that you just had to have." And so finally, I had to admit that the shirt got washed and it didn't come out good. And actually, it was just completely destroyed, at least the decal. And then I couldn't get it all off, and so it just looked terrible. And I was so disappointed. And my dad didn't say what I thought he was going to say, but could you imagine what he wanted to say to me at that point in time? What? I told you so. He didn't say it, but if looks could say it, that's the look he had on his face. And I didn't even want to look because I didn't want to see. Then when my wife, Kayleen, and I were dating, so we weren't married yet, but we were traveling back from where I lived in Illinois back to where I went to college at. We were both traveling back. We had both of our vehicles traveling back from being away for the summertime and going back to school. And I don't know how you travel, but the way I was brought up is that you get in the car and you go as fast as you can and you don't stop until you get there, right? I mean, that was the way we traveled. I just thought that was the way that everybody traveled. You don't stop. You try not to go to the bathroom. And you, if you do, everybody makes you feel really bad for having to go. But you just go fast. And back in this time, the speed limit, I know this is hard for some of you to imagine, but it was 55. All over the country, that was the speed limit. And so if you went that fast, you didn't get anywhere fast. And so we were traveling, and that's my way of traveling. And I figured out, of course, we weren't married yet, but I figured out my soon-to-be wife, she did not like to travel that way. She liked to go the speed limit, if you can imagine that. And she liked to look around, and she liked to stop and take it easy. And so you could imagine there was just a little bit of conflict, right? And so we stopped. I pulled over because she wasn't keeping up. And I said, in the nicest possible way, "Look, this isn't going to work. You have to go faster." And she said, "No." And so we get back in the car, and we travel a little farther. And this happened a couple different times. And finally, I stopped, and I said, "Listen, this is not going to work. We just have to go faster." And she said, "Okay, but we're going to get a ticket." And I said, "No, we're not going to get a ticket. That's silly." So we went traveling, and we went through this little small town in nowhere, Nebraska. And as we went through the town, I looked back, and she wasn't behind me. And so I turned around, and I went back, and I saw that she had gotten pulled over by a police officer. I was in front, by the way. So I thought if anybody was going to get a ticket, it would have been me, for sure. But that's not how it worked. So she got a ticket, and I would like to tell you that she said, "I told you so," but she wasn't talking to me. So I didn't hear that till much, much later. Then eventually, after she stopped talking to me, she said, "What? I told you so." Now, here's the truth of the matter. And this is not just a guy thing. This is all people, most of us, when we make choices, we don't like to be told, "I told you so." Even when the choices that we made are against what we knew to be good or right or in regards to any of it, we just don't want to be told it. But I want you to know, we're going to see a story today, and we're in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We're going to start in verse 6. If you don't have your Bible app, you can open up your YouVersion Bible app. You can open up, or you can have your hard copy, or the text will be on the screen. But we're going to be in verse 6. But before we get into it, I just want to say we've been in Acts the whole book of Acts for an entire year. We're wrapping up in the next couple weeks. This is chapter 27, and then the following week will be Acts chapter 28. But I want to say this to you, just real quickly, the book of Acts, just a couple things. It was written by a guy named Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He's a traveling companion of Paul, And we're going to see that in the story today. He's a travel companion, but he not only wrote the book of Acts, he also wrote the book of Luke, which is one of the Gospels. And Luke really impressed some key ideas that we've seen over and over again in the book of Acts. And the first one is this, that the main character in the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, the apostles, the church, and the Holy Spirit, we see what it looks like for the church to really rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction and empowerment and to do all of the things that God wants us to do. And then the second part of what we see is that God had a plan specifically for the church in the book of Acts. And the plan was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it simply says this, that when the Holy Spirit comes on you with power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so throughout the book of Acts, we've seen Luke tell the story of what the church was doing in Jerusalem and how it started, and then how it moved out because of persecution into Judea, and then how it moved again into Samaria. And now we're seeing in the last parts of the book of Acts that it's going to the ends of the earth, and we're going to see it culminate with Paul, the apostle, going before Caesar in Rome. So now he's on his way. He's going to be put on trial for his beliefs, and he's going to get to say to Caesar, hey, this is why I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so before they get there, they got to take a ship and go on a journey. So they're in Caesarea, which is not too far away from Jerusalem, and they're going to sail to Rome, where he's going to be on trial before Caesar, the most powerful man in all of the world at that particular time. But there's got to be a journey on a ship. And so we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 27, verse 6. They've set off. They're being overseen by a Roman centurion named Julius, who's in charge of all the prisoners, and they've got on a ship, and they're sailing. And you can imagine, we're going to see in this story that Paul is going to say, hey, you guys need to listen to me, and how that story unfolds today. Here we go. In Acts chapter 27, verse 6, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off of Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to Lee of Crete, opposite of Salamine. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lasea. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them. Listen to what he says. Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives. So he's like, hey, just to kind of throw this out there for you guys, I need to let you know something, and you need to listen to what I'm going to say to you, is that if we keep going on this ship the way we're going, bad things are going to happen. Actually, three things. The ship is going to be damaged, the cargo is going to be lost, and actually some lives are going to be taken as well. And he gives some advice. He says, hey, I just want to let you know this is what I see happening. Now, as we think about our relationship with the Lord, God oftentimes, through his word, gives us some direction, some advice, some things that are very true about the way that we are to live life. And the most incredible thing about our relationship, one of the most incredible things is that in our relationship with the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God who puts all this in motion, is that he desires to be in relationship with us. And in the midst of the relationship that we have with him, he gives us choice. He lets us decide if we're going to listen to him and be obedient to him in our relationship with him. He says, hey, there's some ways that I really want you to live, and there's some things that if you do them, man, life is going to be so much easier for you. And I always kind of got this mixed up a little bit, because oftentimes when I was growing up, it always felt like God just wants to take all the fun out of life and give us a list of things that we shouldn't do. And basically he just wants to say, hey, don't do these things, but if you don't, then you can't have fun and you can't have enjoyment in life. But that's not the way it was at all. God says, hey, there's some things I want you to not do, because I want to protect you from having to experience consequences that you do not want to live with for the rest of your life. I want to guard you from that. Just like as parents, we do the same thing as our children are growing up. We want to say, hey, like, I see if you do that, here's what's going to happen. And here's where that's going to take you. And as parents, we just want to keep our children from experiencing some hardships and some hurt and some pain. And the truth is, church, sometimes because of the consequences of the choices that we make, we have those consequences for the rest of our life. Even in the midst of being forgiven, our consequences continue to go on. And there can be some hurt and pain in the midst of that. But God gives us choice. He lets us decide, hey, how are we going to navigate our relationship with him? And so much of our relationship with God is learning to trust that what he tells us is always true. That we can believe in that. And that he doesn't steer us in the wrong direction. But in the midst of us making choices, sometimes our choices take us into some storms. And at first, the storms don't seem that bad, and they don't seem that difficult. And maybe the truth is they're a little bit hard, but we're still making it through, right? We're still getting. That's where they're doing right now. The storms come, and it's been difficult, and there's still no damage to the ship yet, and no loss to cargo, and nobody's died. And Paul's like, hey, I'm just going to throw this out there to you guys. You probably don't want to keep going. And I don't think Paul had necessarily a prophecy from God or any specific direction, but here's what I do know. Paul has experienced 3 shipwrecks already. He's been on 3 boats and traveled different places, and he's been shipwrecked. And maybe what he's thinking is, if I'm on the boat, it's not good for you, right? It's not going to go well. I mean, I'm with you, and it seems like we're headed, and the way that we're headed and what I'm sensing is it's only going to get worse, and there's going to be some storms, and the storms are just going to continue to build. And in our relationship with the Lord, in our listening and discerning what God wants from us and how he wants us to live, sometimes in life, storms come our way that we have no control over, and we didn't choose it, and it chose us. But sometimes the storms that we go into and we face are certainly because of the choices that we made. And so we're going to see that unfold in the next couple of verses here. So he's like, hey, I just want to let you know this is what's going to happen. But the centurion listened. So he listened to Paul, but the centurion was like, I'm going to talk to the pilot of the boat and the owner, and I'm going to see what they have to say. So that's what he does. He says, instead of listening to what Paul said, who is not a sailor by any means, although he's had experience in shipwrecks, he's not a sailor, the centurion followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship, which makes sense, right? The guy who actually has the experience. And since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. Did you hear that? Okay. Sometimes the joke's just right in there. And we appreciate all the winter residents bringing their winter here, by the way. This has been a great February. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw the opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it, and we were driven along. So basically, here's what's going on in the midst of this. We don't have control anymore. We're Our control is over. The wind is forcing us, and we just got to go along with where the storm takes us. And I'm going to venture to say that in this room, because we're people, and we know people, we have family members and friends and acquaintances, including our own self, that oftentimes we've made choices that have continually taken us into the storm. And at the onset of the storm, because of the choices that we're making, we just thought to ourselves, okay, this is bad, but it's really not that bad. And the storm's coming on us, and it's crashing down, and some of the issues with the storm, again, they're difficult, but we're still managing. We're making it through. And we say things like this: I'm still in control. My life's still manageable. I'm still doing okay. It could be worse. Oftentimes we say those things because we're struggling with some addiction and some just over the top things that are just so heavy and weighing us down so much. And the addiction might be from alcohol, or it might be drugs, and it may be pornography, maybe gambling. It just could be a multitude of things. And of course, our thinking is, yeah, I'm making these choices, but I mean, I know other people can't handle it. I know other people, because they're in the midst of it and they're struggling with it, and they can't do it, but I can drink every day. And I'm just fine. I'm doing good. Yeah, I do. And by the way, I can stop anytime I want to stop. Not only that, I can do drugs, and I mean, it's not that bad because I'm only doing them every other day. Sure, once I take them, I sleep for 2 days, and that's why I don't do them every other day. But that's okay. Because I'm still in control and everything is still fine. And it's really not that bad. And we tell ourselves lies to make it seem like, hey, I'm in control of the storm. And at some point in time, the storm takes control of us. And we have no control anymore. And here's what happens. We're going to see as this story unfolds. Is that it leads to some incredible darkness. And it leads to a place of absolute hopelessness, to the point where we think life is better if it's just over. Listen to what happens next in the text, verse 16. So as we passed to the lee of a small island of Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard, then they passed ropes underneath the ship itself to hold it together. Think about this. Everything is just falling apart, and it's as bad as it possibly can be. And that in life, we're just holding on to a thread sometimes, and we're trying to make it as manageable as it can be. And that's what they're doing. The lifeboat gets pulled in. They're passing ropes underneath just to keep the boat together. And as they're trying to keep the boat together, because they were afraid they would run aground on sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. Listen to this part. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging, and we finally gave up hope of being saved. And my guess is that some of us in the room are at that exact point in our life today. The storm has been so hard for so long, and through the midst of the storm, we've been jettisoning things in our life, relationships with people, careers that we had longed for. We started having consequences that we never intended to have, and it just keeps piling on and piling on and piling on. And in the midst of it, the darkness consumes us to the point where we think to ourselves, all hope is lost. And what's the point anymore? Because it's just that bad and that overwhelming. Have you been there? Have you experienced that? The good news this morning is that at any point along the journey, whether the storm is just a mild storm or whether it's a pretty decent one or whether it's a raging storm and you've been caught in it for a long time, hope gets offered. Now, typically the last thing that we want someone to say to us in the midst of the storm, when everything is as bad as it could be, is what? I told you so. Paul could not wait to say those words. So after they had gone a long time without food, so ship is being damaged, cargo's going overboard, including food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, hello, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves from this damage and loss. But now," he says, "now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen," listen, "just as he told me." Nevertheless, we're still going to run aground on some island. Just throwing that in there for you at the end. We're still going to get shipwrecked. Listen to what Paul says. Yes, he says, "I told you so." And inherently, whether somebody says it to us or not, really, oftentimes, before we head down the road that we're on, we know the choices that we're making. And we begin to justify and rationalize, and we make excuses, and we try to make it seem like it's not that big of a deal, and we try to do everything that we can to make our choices seem okay. But at some point in time, whether it's the voice of a family member, a friend, someone who cares about us really a whole lot, they may say to us, they may give us a gentle nudge, or they may hit us with the head with a 2x4 because they're trying to get our attention to say, "Listen, I want you to know something." And isn't it interesting that in the midst of Paul's first words that he said about the trip, he said, "Hey, there's three things that are going to happen. The ship's going to be damaged, we're going to lose cargo, and lives are going to be lost." And as Paul stood up again the second time and said, "I told you so, you should have listened to me," this time he says, "But we've only experienced a damaged ship and lost cargo, and no lives are going to be lost." And you know what we do when somebody said, "I told you so," and only a little bit of their prediction comes true, or maybe 4 out of the 5 things that they said came true, we hold on to the one thing that they said that wasn't true. It's like somebody giving you advice and telling you, "Hey, you know what? If you eat 6 donuts a day, you're probably going to grow like 5 or 6 pant sizes." That's not a healthy direction to go in. And you come back to them a couple months later because you haven't seen them in a while, and you say, "Ah, you were wrong. I only grew 4 pant sizes. How dare you tell me I was going to grow 5 pant sizes?" Isn't that what we do? And in the midst of Paul's story, Paul got 2 things right: that they had a terribly damaged ship and that their cargo was lost. But God is going to spare the lives of everybody on the ship. And can I tell you today, that's the hope he wants to offer all people. He wants to spare all lives. And the way that he spares us is by allowing us to make a decision about who he is in our life. And to trust in the words that the angel told Paul. You see, Paul speculated that this was going to happen. He assumed that if they kept on the journey that they were going to keep on, just like a lot of times we see some things that might happen, but we don't know exactly how they're going to unfold. But when the angel came to Paul and said, "This is what's going to happen, you can trust in it," church, That's exactly what we have in the Word of God. That everything in the Word of God is true, and if we live by it, it can give us hope and peace and contentment and grace and just everything in life that is a better full life. Like John wrote in his gospel in John 10:10, he says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. And oftentimes, we choose life and we want to go in a different direction. And in the midst of the darkest, most difficult points in our life, God says, you can trust in me. And you're not too far gone. It's not all lost. I can offer you grace and offer it today. And not one life will be lost. But you have to choose to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. You have to choose to trust him at his word and that what he says is true. I love when he says, hey, just so you don't forget, we need to take courage and not be afraid. And sometimes the hardest thing for us to do in the darkest of the darkest times is to not be afraid. But he offers a way out. And he offers hope in the darkness. Wherever you're at, whatever you've done, wherever you've gone, I don't care how much you think you are unforgivable or God can't redeem it. I am telling you today, he can redeem your story because of Jesus. And the storm that you chose and the direction that you went down, that story can be a part of your story, but it doesn't have to be the end of your story. And God can offer that to you today through Jesus Christ, his son. It's interesting, as he tells him, hey, all the lives are going to be spared on the ship, and yeah, bad things happen, and don't be afraid, and don't lose heart. But by the way, we're going to run aground. We're still going to get shipwrecked. And sometimes, church, even when Jesus offers grace, even when he offers forgiveness, and all he does, you can have it today. But even forgiven sin has consequences. And it's unfortunate. But I think sometimes that happens so that we can be reminded of the, yes, of the God who gives grace, but of the God whose word is always true as well. And then if we don't believe God and we don't trust him at his word, there are some things that will endure that are absolutely because of the choices we chose to make and the storm we chose to go into. But church, he still offers his hope, and he offers it through Jesus Christ, his son. And wherever you're at and whatever storm you've been through, there is hope. And it could be as dark as it's ever been, and you could be at the end of your rope, and you could be trying to hold everything together, and everything is just falling apart, and he wants to offer hope today. And so my hope is that you today will trust in Jesus. Trust that everything that he says is true, is absolutely true. And that he will pull you out of the darkness and he will offer you grace and your life will never be the same again. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you today and we just recognize our need for your son, Jesus. And Father, we know we've chosen to go down some difficult paths in life, and Father, certainly we've chose to go through some storms, and we thought we could handle it, and we thought we could always be in control, but the truth is, we've lost control a long time ago, and Father, we need you. We're calling out to you. Father, we're doing it because we can trust in you today. I hope, Father, if there's anybody in this room today that feels like all hope is lost, that you can renew and restore their faith and their trust and their belief in you. Father, that they can see that you want to forgive and that they can feel your love today, Father. We pray this and we lift this up in the name of Jesus. Amen.